What's going on, everybody? It is Monday, October 12th, 2020. Very scary. 10-12, or if you are in Europe, 12-10. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
I'm not sure that's how it works, but...
They're ahead.
You're on...
They're ahead of us.
Gecko Scary!
Yeah, welcome to the Gecko Spooky Cast. Across the virtual table from me is Rich Meister.
But spooky.
Yeah, but spooky. I hate that. I hate that stuff. I've seen that. You know, that's something. I've seen that on social media. They change their name to something spooky. But well, I've seen a lot of people just saying, "Hey, it's me, Rich, but spooky."
Why are you calling me out? Because that's literally what I did. Because I love being lazy.
Is that you? Are
that's
you on
my
there?
Twitter? It's Rich Meister, but spooky.
I'm going on Twitter right now. Hold on. Please hold on. Please don't do it. Oh my. Okay. You're not the only one, so feel good that you're in company. I've seen it so many times where some people are just like, "Yo, but spooky." I'm like, "Well, all right."
Now, I think it's funny when you can actually come up with something that fits your name well, which is exactly the reason I did it, because I'm like, there's nothing that works for my name, so I'll just do the laziest version.
I was just like, "God damn it." I mean, other people are doing it. So, you know, it's they also just change their names in general to something spookier.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, all right,
like,
well.
I know, like, see, no, clearly. I think it is fun when you really can do something clever. Like, every year, Gary Witta makes his Twitter name Scary Witta.
Scary Witta. Just, I can't. So, hello, everybody. I hope you're not changing your names to something spooky.
I'll call you a bitch.
I'll put you in my shit list. And that's even spookier than the name itself. But this on the Gecko Spooky Cast, Rich and I are going to break down the scariest games. I'll start. Croc, Legend of the Gobos.
It's spooky because his tooth's so big.
It is. And also the polygons just look strange. Yeah. Two, of course, Muppet Monsters. I don't even know why we're having a discussion.
We talk about
that's the list.
We talk about the Muppets in general a lot on the show. This show has a fine appreciation
know something,
for the Muppets.
You know, my older brother's friend, he was like, "Hey, I heard about that Lord of the Rings casting of the Muppets. I had a good time with that." I said, "Wow.
It's a fun little activity. I'm glad people enjoy it."
It's a fun little activity. I know. He was like, "It was a nice surprise." I said, "Well, don't get used to it."
Go ahead. That's the last fucking time.
Yeah, so that's the last time that's happened. If you know the rules. If something was said to be good, you gotta scrap it. It's over.
100%.
Write it
if
out.
If people enjoyed it, we do our best to never tread that ground again.
And that's just the way, you know, we've kept the lights on all these years. We are officially less than a month away from the next generation of consoles, and I have never felt...
We're a month to the day away from the launch of the PS5.
I've never felt more ambivalent about a console launch, just because I don't know...
What to expect.
It won't hit me...
Did you...
Until it arrives at my door.
I feel like we didn't talk. Did you watch that PS5 teardown, right?
Yeah, I did.
This is like a smaller thing, but also one. Let's note that console is the size of our torsos.
It's pretty big.
Two, this is something I immediately thought of because now you know there's going to be a ton of aftermarket accessories for it. Those white siding pieces snap right off. There's going to be a ton of aftermarket replacements for those. I would bet you.
I'm hoping so, because you know what, with the, what was it? I think the PlayStation 3 had the same kind of thing going on.
Well, it almost makes
but
me think
But probably
of,
just not in the same easy capacity as what you're seeing now.
It makes me think of, like, those 360 faceplates. Like, remember when that was a thing?
I hope so, because that'd be pretty cool, because then it's low effort. You don't need to do anything.
Yeah.
Just make a few decals and just shove it on, and you could sell
I'm even
troves of it.
Less excited stylistically, and more like... Oh God! I hope they make one that makes it less like weird shape, so I can fit it in a normal space.
Well, I've seen a lot of people making concept art online of, you know, God of War, Cyberpunk. They're like, the potential is endless, and the very first thing I'm thinking is, you guys just gonna come out with black?
I'm just gonna put a sticker.
It's like
on
you guys got like a black matte design that I could just steal and slap it on.
Just something that looks like nice.
I just because the white, I don't mind. I don't care. It's just by far. It's the strangest console design.
I just eat so much marinara over my consoles, I'm worried about it spilling.
Oh, you're worried of getting a stain on it?
I'm gonna get my spaghetti all over.
It's just huge. It's true. And I was even thinking, my TV... I mean, it's not on a stand on the entertainment center that I have, the shelf that I have. It's just on the wall. So, I even think that it's about maybe... looking at it, maybe like a foot and a half away. Yeah. This thing's like a foot and some.
Yeah, it's big.
It's pretty tall.
It's a heckin' chunk.
So, fine. They also announced that for PlayStation 5, they finally gave out details on the backwards compatibility.
And there's a list.
Basically, like, everything is backwards compatible except for like five. They must be niche. I have never heard of half of these games.
Nobody would give a shit about.
Yeah. And the studios who made them probably shed a tear when they read them on the list. For anybody wondering, like, oh, what the hell is it going to be? It's everything. Except for, like, five games you probably don't own, and if you do, you're not going to want to play it. Yeah. I'd be surprised. This is me.
You know what's crazy is, like, and I'm wondering how the backwards compatibility stuff works. Like, I've been listening on the Beastcast the past few weeks. Jeff Bacalar has had a Xbox Series X, and he's been playing around with it. And one thing he's been bringing up every week is he's like, you still can't run Halo 5 on that thing, which is weird.
Kind of odd. Like, just a little bit. And he said but
it's
I've
on
seen
a list
the...
where it lets you preload it, but then it can't run it.
I've seen plenty of videos with the quick resume.
That, I didn't realize how intricate that shit was, because I feel like people are like, oh, what's the big deal? That quick resume still works, even when you turn the console off completely. Even when you, if you unplug it and move it and plug it back in somewhere else, it still works.
Yeah, and I didn't know that. I also just thought, well, because, again, details weren't released about it in such detail at that time. But, yeah, I just thought that if you put it on sleep and you booted it up, it'd come back immediately.
It seems
and I was like, yeah,
way better cool. than what the last-gen consoles were able to do. Like, by and large. Like
by a mile and then some.
Because I think people are misunderstanding what it's for. Like, they're like, oh, well, how often am I going to be quick swapping between games? It's like, that's not really what it's for. It's for if you're, like, playing three different games over the course of, like, a week, and you can kind of just seamlessly slip in between them.
Yeah. And how many? I think there's you could do between three max, I believe it is.
For Xbox, I believe it's three. I feel like Sony might have said the PS5 could do more than that. They might have said four or five. I'd take that with a grain
of salt. Well, Sony has, where Xbox has more teraflops, PlayStation has more speed in terms of SSD compatibility. Maybe I'm wrong with that. I may be wrong with that. But I just know that they also have some. I think they have a better SSD. I don't know.
This
but,
is not Digital Foundry.
But whatever it is, doesn't matter. You could just switch between games in like a matter of a second and just keep picking up where you left off, which again I think is even more so going to keep promoting buying games digitally. Like, why not? The last thing I'm ever going to want to do to utilize Quick Resume is just put in discs. I'm going to want to just keep moving between my games.
Agree with you if they were packing more memory into those things.
Yeah, oh.
Down the line.
When it comes to that, yes, that's a completely different conversation.
But
I'm just talking about the incentive.
We've had this conversation before, so we don't need to delve too deep into it.
Oh, for sure. The incentive to get digital is going to be there.
I think
spacing is a fucking task.
I think the idea of deleting and re-downloading games is going to be very different this generation. I don't think you're going to see the download times we saw on the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. Like, I don't think it's going to be like, oh, well. Like, when I pre-ordered a game digitally, I used to come home on my lunch break to download it, because I knew if I didn't, I would get home from work at 5 o'clock and I wouldn't be playing it until 7:38.
I just want them to normalize preloading forever.
Yeah, 100%.
Because even Steam does not do that for all games. It's very publisher-specific. I just wish more people normalized and green-lighted the preloading process to just let it happen.
Larian did not allow preloading for Baldur's Gate 3, and Steam broke.
Yeah, and they crashed Steam. So, that again, all the more reason. I have any game that I have quote-unquote pre-ordered digitally from Steam has only ever just been because preloading was a capability.
Yeah.
I have actually never pre-ordered a game unless preloading was there, because there was literally no point for that. So I hope they do that. I hope they continue to normalize it. I am a masochist, so I don't give a shit if I'm going to have to get up and change my discs, even if Quick Resume is still a thing, because I think it still is, even if you're using physical, so it doesn't matter. But I think it's cool. I saw online a lot of people were not able to, or you had a lot of dissenting opinions saying, why would you ever want to use that? the quick resume feature or functionality. You know, like, how often are you switching between games? And I guess if you're just thinking about it on the surface, yeah, it kind of seems silly, but there have been times where you've even messaged me saying, oh, you want to play X? And I've been like, yeah. And then I have to cancel my game and then go to play X. But now with Quick Resume, if it's a popular game that we probably play most of the time, I could always just Quick Resume the game immediately, play with you, and then go back to whatever I was doing, like, I don't know, an hour or two later. I just pick up right where I was. Like, it's like nothing. Also, it's just a concurrent stream of game.
I can tell you, the suspend feature on the PS4 even, Uncharted Lost Legacy always comes to mind to me. That game I beat in like a week and a half, and it was definitely like one continuous launch of the game. Like, I just kept suspending it. Like, even with the PS4 one, that's kind of a little wonky, I use that feature a lot.
Yeah, or even there's even times where I'm just making dinner and I'll watch something on like on Netflix or whatever, and then after like 40 minutes or something, I'm done and I'll just go back to the game. Like, yeah. There's absolutely, even just from, I don't care so much about all those different edge cases of when are you going to use it, but it's just quality of life. Like, yeah. Why wouldn't you? Want
why
that?
Don't
you?
Yeah, like.
Like, it's there. Why wouldn't you want something to just pick up right where you left off?
I also don't think it's as superfluous as people like to pretend it is. Like, it's something, the more accustomed we get to having it, the more it'll be like, how, I think it's going to be one of those things like 2 years from now where we're like, how did we survive without this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Especially to the download times that you were just talking about. They're going to say, nobody's even going to know. At that, there's going to be a generation that's not even going to understand how long it took to download things at a certain time.
Yeah.
Like, even when I'm thinking, the biggest offender by far is Modern Warfare and Warzone.
Oh my God.
It is the biggest offender to close out this generation that I have seen personally that just cannot handle being optimized.
I don't understand.
It's like they just did everything in their power not to do that.
How or why it's that big.
I don't know. And my only hope, first of all, if I know Warzone is still going to be on the PS5 or just the Xbox Series X, so for me, Cold War, I don't care. But they just better work on their loading, because if they're not optimized, it's just going to suck up all the space on the console, and you're going to have to pay, at least if you're on the Series X, you'll have to pay for that Seagate adapter thing for memory storage that they have if you want the compatible hardware.
Yeah.
Or you just need to get an external, which everybody knew.
Yeah,
everybody
yeah,
knew you're
no.
gonna have to buy a fucking external anyways. But I can imagine that grandma's gonna buy her grandkid that and Call of Duty, and that's the console.
The main problem I have with the whole like, oh, buy the externals day one, is if you look at the pricing on that Seagate expansion for the Xbox, if you buy that and the digital only Xbox on day one, you're almost spending as much as you would spend on the full-on Series X.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah. It's absolutely mind-boggling. But, honestly, par for course. I mean, I expected that. That's what, with the digital-only versions, I'm just like, I was okay with it. I had just bought an external hard drive for my PlayStation 4 this year.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the games that I've ever had were physical, and I really never had the problem of running out of space up until I just started downloading more and more and more PlayStation Plus titles, and because Call of Duty killed my hard drive.
Totally.
It absolutely fucked
it
all up.
The fact of the matter is, we're going to have these expensive memory solutions, but, and we talked about this in the past, having those proprietary, no, these are the drives you have to use, that's what lets them get this better performance when they're controlling that level of memory usage. Like, that's how they're able to achieve what they are able to achieve with these very specific drives,
which is why I'm pretty excited for it all. I'm trying to sell my PlayStation 4 Pro this month.
I'm doing this
because now that everything's backwards compatible and we have official word that hardware and digital saves as long as it's compatible and disk data will carry over, there's no need to have the console.
I'm hanging on to my Pro, but I am using let go to try and get rid of my original PS4 and my Xbox One S.
Yeah, the only other PS4 I think I've gotten over the years was the Destiny one, and I'm keeping that because I like it.
I'm going to say this officially on this podcast so I can be dubbed a criminal. I'm checking my regular PS4 because I think it might be kind of iffy performance-wise, And if I think it's not, like, if it's ready to crap out, I'm going to do the right thing and sell it to a GameStop.
Good for you. Reggie wouldn't like that, but good for you.
Well, you know, you do what you have to do, because...
Listen, it's a free market out there.
If I sell it to the GameStop, they're taking all the risk, and then if someone buys it and it breaks immediately, they're covered, because it's GameStop.
And they'll refurbish it. For the Pro, I'm just going to make sure I'm signed out of everything, and then just...
I'm going to do a factory reset on those babies.
I'm just going to make sure everything's cloud-saved on the external and just don't give a shit and just let it go. But, I'm excited to play Demon's Souls.
Hell yeah, and brother. But again,
I'm not going to... My perspective on this, it has nothing to do with just... I mean, sure, it has something to do with COVID. It's just because I don't care about the next gen because it has not hit me yet until it arrives at my door and I'm hooking it up. And then when I'm finally sitting down and holding the controller, I'll be like, oh shit, it's next gen. I just even haven't... My headspace isn't there because everything's just been happening immediately, like right at the 11th hour. All this information is getting released. All this stuff is getting released because we're about a month away now and they have no choice. So hard to wrap my brain around it. But yeah, I guess we're in the next gen. And at least now I get to play my optimized PlayStation 4 games, which is cool. People can play their optimized Xbox games. I saw Jeff Keighley was playing Blink the Time Sweeper.
Yeah, that's
fucking awesome.
The future is now,
like,
old man.
I got to give Microsoft credit here. Like, it's fucking awesome.
The future
is so cool. You can quick resume
and the future
on Blinks.
Is the past.
Yeah, you can 4K Dolby Digital.
Get in, it's just here, like, motherfucker. We're playing Metal Arms glitching the system.
Yeah. Like, you could. And that's why I'm thinking, like, damn, that's so cool. Xbox, sometimes they're good with that. But I'm pretty excited to just see what comes out of all of this.
Totally.
And meanwhile, on PC, Cyberpunk went gold last week. Finally.
Yeah.
So that's coming out.
You're going to be playing some Cyberpunk.
There's just so much shit.
Hell yeah.
I can't take it. But it's just too much.
In the immediate time span, what have you been playing this week?
Not a lot, because I was just catching up with work, because I went away on the weekend upstate. But I did play... I played a lot of Among Us with you. I even think the guys are playing it right now.
They're playing it right now. I was too tired to focus on anything, so I'm probably going to bed after this.
I have to say, when you're in the throes of playing it I can see why it's just so much fun. I mean, we've talked about it to death and everybody here knows about it, but it's a lot of fun. It is. And I've gotten some people who usually are not into games onto it.
Yeah, that kind of happened this weekend as well. Good. You were away, but I had some people over for a fire at my place on Saturday. And before there got to be too many people there, Vinny talked everyone there into downloading on their phones and we were playing it around the fire.
It's so easy at first, because when I'm involving other people outside of my main our main social circle here into social deduction games, it usually never sticks that well from people I found, whether it's from work or otherwise, because there's always people who are not comfortable with playing a social deduction game, or just you don't know them too well to lie enough. And then when you call somebody a fucking liar, they get personally offended if you're not familiar with them.
Yeah,
like for you, I can jump across the table and I call you a liar right to your face and tell you that every day that you are awake lying to me, I'm aware of it and I hate you. And that's fine. But to some other rando stranger, they're not going to feel so comfortable.
Well, yeah, because
but
I can just
I even introduced it to work colleagues.
Yeah.
And they were fine with it.
Well, yeah, people, like, you're comfortable enough.
It's the aspect of being quiet, doing something. And then when during the main discussions, they say, oh, like, I don't really know what the rules are. And then you'll say, X, you killed me. Then they'll just naturally be like, what? No, I didn't. And then it'll kick off. And then it's very approachable in that way because it's just so easy. So it's just a blast. It's really easy to pick up. I've just been playing it all week on the mobile phone or even on the PC because I decided to give them my money because they deserve it. And
it's $5. $5.
It's $5. Other than that, though, nothing except for, like, Just Dance.
Yeah, Dance.
I played Just Dance.
I played some stuff.
Tell me about your stuff.
I played a whole lot of Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, right. Okay. You can talk about it this time.
I can talk about Baldur's Gate now.
Okay. Give me the quickie on the yay or nay before we dive into details.
Okay.
Is it, if I wanted to spend $60 on it right now.
For you personally, I'd say yes.
Okay.
For someone who is unfamiliar with these games and is looking for a Larian level RPG, I'd say right now go into Divinity 2 because it's a complete package. This is an early access game. And when I say that, what I mean is this is the first chapter of Baldur's Gate 3 is what's the content-wise what's in here.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to say how much of the game is in there because I mean, think of Divinity. Like, the first chapter is very short compared to the rest of the game. So there's, like, a solid 40 hours here, but that could be, like, 20% of the game. Like, who's to say? It's not necessarily... It's one of three chapters, but it's not necessarily one-third of the game. When I say it's an early access game, there's a lot of bugginess going on. Just, you know, some weird stuff with character models. Sometimes bodies kind of freak out when they drop. Larian has been very upfront that saves are going to get wiped multiple times throughout this experience. My saves already got wiped on the day it was pushed live.
I would be so upset if I paid $60 when I got wiped.
Well, they've been very clear about it, and like they'll be vocal about when it's going to happen. And I'll actually say, I was just about ready to start over and try something different on the first day my saves got wiped. I'd been playing a halfling rogue for a little bit, and I'd been rather enjoying it, but I liked the rogue character you pick up early on, and I was using him in my party more so. So now, my current run, I am playing as a tiefling ranger.
I remember Larian actually kind of made fun of people because they said that they've been starting to get some analytics on the character creation, and they've been getting some character creators, and they said most people are just picking generic humans.
Yeah.
And they said, please, we put so much work into putting in, like, devil horns and spotted skin. Just please make a better character.
I was talking with our friend Nick about this, and I didn't spend a ton of time on my character because they've been so upfront about saves getting wiped.
Yeah, I actually wouldn't even... I genuinely wouldn't have even bothered because it's early access. I would even flip... I agree with you there, at least to flip it on its head. Not even because it's a potential of being wiped, just because I have a feeling like I just want to play it to see what it has to offer and just try it.
This is going to be my character through to the end. I'm trying stuff out. But there's a lot of content character-wise. There's not a ton of like assets per character, but this isn't the final roster of races and everything. They said there will be more. But
yeah.
Right now in the game, you have humans, tieflings, dwarves... elves, half-elves, you got Githyanki. There's a pretty wide assortment of races to play as, and there's going to be more in the final game. You cannot play as any of the prefab characters right now. You can only use the created character. But pick up all those characters to join your party, like much how Divinity was structured.
Yeah, I was teeter-tottering on spending the $60 or not. I decided not to, because I was like, you know what? I'm just going to play Divinity.
There's no harm in waiting. I'm really enjoying my time with it.
It's honestly been a year since I played Divinity 2, and I said, what's the harm? And if I really do want to do it by that point, I have a feeling Baldur's Gate will have a little bit more. I think when they do the next act, I'll start to play it. Plus, I have this really... I had this system with RPGs where, for really long RPGs, I'll play it through the first time, maybe for about 10 to 15 hours... very fragmented in terms of timing, delete my save months later, and then play it through the second time, and that's the real way. Like, that's my playthrough. And I pick up things, and I actually follow the instructions, and I play it correctly, quote-unquote. But I pay way more attention the second time around, because the first time, I'm just getting a feel.
I gotta tell you, though, I've already had some really fun adventures with it. One of my favorite things to do is, because there are, like, D&D-esque options in the combat... like, you know, bonus actions of, like, pushing things or, like, just kicking or throwing something. I cast Mage Hand at the start of every fucking battle because basically I just have a floating hand going around and pushing people off ledges. And
Larian's always, like, excellent at making stupid physics like that happen.
Another great insight with my rogue is early on we were picking off a bandit camp, and there is a halfling standing on top of a box, like, surveying it. I snuck up behind him and pushed him off the box, then successfully rolled a stealth check so he was convinced he had simply tripped and just got up with 1 HP and returned to his post.
Back to business, as
usual.
He's like,
huh, I'm a little clumsy fella, huh?
That's weird.
But I did want to share what I dub as the most D&D-ass sort of bullshit that happened to me in this game during my run with my halfling. As I was forming my party, one of the first characters I picked to join me was a wizard by the name of Gale. He's a human wizard. He's a pretty chill guy. The way I described him to a friend who asked me over the week was, imagine if Jeff Goldblum played Gandalf the Grey.
And that's literally Gale?
That's Gale. So, Gale and I are palling around for a while, and at one point I'm just going through the party inventory, And Gale has, it just says a nondescript pouch on him. So I take it out, and it asks me if I want to pull on the string. So I go to pull on the string, like, you can't seem to get it. Want to keep pulling? So I'm like, yeah, sure. And I keep pulling, and then it just says the bag disappears in a puff of smoke. Don't think anything of it. Another 4 or 5 hours go by. We're in a combat situation with some goblins, and Gale dies and fails his saving throws. Okay. So he's dead. Then at the end of the combat encounter, a projection of Gale appears. And he says to me, hey, if you're looking at this, it means I'm dead. So I have some very specific instructions for you. It is of the vital, most importance that you resurrect me within 2 days of my demise. So I have instructions on how to do this. Over my heart, there's a small pouch. And I just go, oh no. And he starts giving me very detailed instructions on how to open this pouch and recover a scroll of true resurrection.
Meanwhile, 4 hours prior, it disappeared.
4 hours ago, I essentially picked his pocket and destroyed it.
I feel like they knew.
Like,
I wonder if they knew. Like, if they knew if the pouch is gone, so they're going to give you so much instruction just to say, oh shit, the pouch.
But it's one of those.
But regardless, even if that's true, what a fucking gotcha moment.
Like, that is the kind of dumb bullshit that, like, a DM strums up in the middle of a D&D campaign just because you chose to fuck with some random object.
So now Gale's dead.
In that file with my halfling, yes, Gale is dead.
And he's not coming back because you already fucked that. Oh, that's great. See, it's like situations like those that I know the game is going to be chock full of, and honestly, the moments where I loved Divinity.
Yeah.
Those are the times in the RPGs where they say, your choices matter. Like, that's when I want my choices to matter.
Yeah.
For some benign, stupid, menial garbage like that, I love that kind of stuff. Because it's just funny, you don't think about it, and by the time when the time it's brought up again, it's days, weeks, hours after, you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, it's because so of that. Ridiculous. And then just oh my god, it stacks up so well. I think having the full-on D&D aesthetic in this one is great. Like, bringing up a literal virtual d20 when you roll checks, you're watching your checks in the corner go by, like your passive checks all the time, as you scan for traps and things like that. Everything about the game just feels really, really fucking good.
What a treat,
going to
I tell
you. Definitely keep slowly plugging away at that as it's an early access.
And the graphics look honestly really good.
Yeah, it looks
for
good.
The game.
Like,
it looks better than Divinity.
Sometimes when you're registering cut things are a little wonky right now because it's early access. Great story for that is I was talking to a druid who was threatening me, and then he turned into a bear, and the game freaked out. Instead, he turned into two bears, which is much scarier.
You want to know what's scarier than one? Two. And it just glitches
this
out.
This guy just turned into two bears. Everybody calm down.
That's not even a druid ability. It's like, that's just a glitch.
Something there is wrong.
We're not even going to fix that.
And I love my little ranger because he can summon some familiars as a tiefling. And, you know, you're thinking like, oh, what do you got? A big, strong bear to help you? And I'm like, nope, I'm going to make a rat.
I'm going to make a stick thing because you need more tears to even bother to summon. I remember playing Neverwinter Nights. And yeah, the summoning abilities in the beginning were nothing. It was pretty much next to nothing.
I summon rats all the time because you just use infectious bite and hope you can poison your enemy.
With a little rat boy. I think that long term, when the game is done, it's
going to
be awesome.
Oh, based on what's there right now, I have no doubt it's going to be like one of my favorite things of whatever year it's finally released in full.
I think it was pretty good that they did the early access release too. Because you know what? Larian has shown that they're very receptive, as you were saying in the beginning, to criticism. And I think for a game like that, obviously, reasoning aside, probably why they did it, probably money. But
yeah.
I think with a game like Baldur's Gate, it has a devout enough fan base where you can really start to pick the brains of some of the diehard fans and start to make the game as best as it can be. Because I think one of the challenges, from what I've seen so far too, is that they're going to need to make this game Baldur's Gate 3 and not Divinity 3.
Yeah, precisely.
Because even when I remember watching, I watched the opening, and you ended up on the beach, I believe, after you fall.
Yes, the ravaged beach.
Yeah, it looked exactly like Divinity 2, and a lot of people were commenting saying this is just Divinity 2, and it didn't click for me at the time. Yeah, their biggest challenge is that they're going to need to make a game that's not their previous game.
Yeah.
Because they are different at their core. Because the systems are different. So I'm curious to see over time how they start to implement the feedback too and start to make it its own type of game,
and I
separate from the Divinity franchise. Because I, even as a player, I want them to be separate too. I want to have a different feel, and I think they're very capable of that as a studio. It's just going to be challenging if
the
it hasn't been already.
Divinity is there, but at its core, the interactions, the combat. For somebody who's played a lot of D&D 5e, it is digital D&D 5e. Like, they've captured that feeling successfully.
Right. Yeah, from a combat, so from a, just a system, sure. But it's something, it's going to be something else to be said to just not be, to your point, like, not even just being in the core of the DNA of it, but just not being Divinity 3.
Yeah.
I think it's been probably going to be a challenge and will continue to be, but I think that's mainly... Not mainly. I think that may have been one of the primary drivers for even going early access, because just keep adjusting it. Fuck it. That's like the perfect type of model of game to just keep adjusting until it's done.
Yeah.
You got all the feedback. That same thing with Dead Cells and the other games. They kept consistently getting feedback as to what worked for a roguelike at the time, I remember. And they actually picked and chose a bunch of stuff that worked and then even removed things that just didn't. And it ended up being considered one of the best of all time. So I guess there's something to be said about the player feedback, and maybe
sure.
They're taking it very seriously.
Sure.
Who knows? But if you're not into Baldur's Gate right now, don't spend $60 on it. I can't recommend it for you.
Yeah, it is.
Go play Divinity.
It is
I implore you.
A pricey buy-in for an early access game.
Yeah, you would have to be one of the people like Rich or myself who has been looking forward to this for a while. And even I'm still on the fence about it because I just may just want to play Divinity just because it's done.
As we sat in that castle in Boston and watched the footage, I tingled, so...
I did. I took a picture with the Mind Flayer. I felt like I had a personal obligation after that point to buy the game. I just,
you know,
I don't know. And it looks great. It does.
And thank you to Larian for hooking me up with code. That was pretty fucking chill.
That was pretty fucking chill of him. But I got Cyberpunk now coming. So I think when they release their second act, I'll jump in.
Cool.
But for right now, it looks awesome. I'm glad it's at least good for right now for what they have.
What's there
and
is definitely really cool.
I'm so glad that these games are going to continue. I'm glad Larian is continuing to just keep these games alive. Because they really are something special. I hope these are the type of games that just never die out because people think of it as too old school. I think so long as D&D is popular, it'll keep being popular.
For sure.
What is I Am Dead? At first, I thought you were just being clever.
No.
I thought you were just writing like I Am Dead.
A little indie joint that came out this week that I've been keeping an eye on for a while. It's sort of been my relaxing game to play like an hour or so of before bed. How do I explain the gameplay, so to speak? It's almost like one of those hidden item games that are like very popular online.
Mm-hmm.
So the basic premise is you are playing as this character named Morris, who is a recently deceased spirit. And upon his death, he finds out that the island he lives on is home to a volcano that was believed to be inactive. But it's inactive because the custodian of the volcano, which is a spirit that watches over it, keeps it from erupting. And the spirit that watches over the volcano has been gone, has been there for a very long time and needs to move on. So
okay.
Morris is too new of a spirit to take on the job. So he's basically going around the island and you're interacting with these five different spirits who died on the island and have been there for some time, most of them you knew in your life, and trying to see if one of them is willing and fit to be the new custodian of the volcano. And the main gameplay loop is you kind of go through the places where these people died, and you watch memories that people have of them in their life, and then you kind of search the place for items of importance to them, and you use them to kind of like ground the spirit so you can interact with it. And it's like these five little vignettes about five different people, and the actual gameplay element is, like I said, you're going through these places, and since you're a ghost, you can like phase through objects, so you can kind of like, you know, go into a locked drawer or something and literally look into it to see if an object is there. You could like look inside pots and stuff.
Just go look inside some stuff here and there.
Just look in stuff. It's neat. It's kind of charming. It's got a nice little aesthetic to it. It's nothing too insane, but it's relaxing. It's on Steam, and I've been plugging away at that little by little.
You want to know a game I was thinking about the other day?
Tell me.
BioShock.
It's a good game. Great game.
I I think it was the line that Frank Fontaine says where he says it looks like Mother Goose has been messing around with the egg salad.
I used to love that because it's such a bad line.
Well, that's why it's stuck in my head. I think it's because you used to say it all the fucking time that I just never forgot it. And I was thinking about it.
He's so convinced. It looks like Mother Goose has been messing around with your egg salad.
And that was during the big reveal. Yeah. We've talked about this so many times, either off on this cast or now, whenever we talk about like most memorable game moments. That's always going to be in my top five for so when Frank good. Fontaine revealed himself.
It was like 1 in the morning when I got to that, when we were in high school or whenever the fuck that game came out.
That's where it hit, like, when it was in the middle of the night. Yeah. I'm always going to be grateful to myself that I never played this in broad daylight and that I found that moment in the dark.
It's when you first get to that room where there's the desk with all the pictures of, like, Atlas strung up and the pins connecting it to Fontaine, and it just says, "Would you kindly," in blood.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck is going on here?
I was thinking about it the other day, and I was just, I don't know. So I was thinking, you know, like, fuck. I wanted to play the game again.
It's a great game. It's a moment that's hard to replicate. That weird fucking line sticks out to me, and it's when you first drop into that room with the Atlas reveal, right as he's, like, kind of giving up the farce of it, and he gives, like, one long Scottish, like, "Nice job, boyo."
Yeah, the game is fucking... I can't not talk up the game.
One of
it's
my favorite games ever, like, hands down. So good.
It is, and I gotta say, you know, I have to say, even though I don't think it was a popular opinion at the time, I didn't think, and I still don't think, that Infinite hits the same way that the original did for me. It just doesn't.
And I actually think, and we've definitely talked about this before, I think reflecting on it, I actually like Bioshock 2 more than Infinite now.
Yeah, and I gotta be honest, exactly. I also gotta be honest too. Bioshock 2 was fucking awesome, and it improved on the first game in every way.
Like,
It may not have had the biggest punch,
stronger, but it improves on the mechanics of the game in every conceivable way.
It did two things. It improved on the gameplay, and it gave you more Rapture, which to me is what I wanted when I was playing it. I was not of the mind where I wanted to have an exact carbon copy of the first game. And I just wanted a second game, and I thought the Big Sister was interesting.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was a great game.
Look,
I don't know. And I was just thinking about it the other day, and I was just marveling as to how good...
Fire up that collection.
Oh, yeah. No, as I was talking to you, I was just looking it up, and I realized that you get the remastered for free, and I didn't know that, if you have the collection already. And I am downloading it right now, but it was before I even started this cast with you, because I had to get home and just start it. So, and you want to know, because you know what? You want to know something else. Speaking of the spooky month. I also saw on Steam that Dead Space had their collection that was on sale at the time. And I will always talk about Dead Space. But I was just thinking, man, I really just want to fire up Dead Space. And even on that note, let me fire up Bioshock. Because at the time, I will say this. Even though Dead Space is my favorite horror game, I do have to say that in terms of impact, Bioshock, for me, takes over just a little bit more. In terms of how much it influenced my tastes in what a good atmospheric, suspenseful game was.
It tells its story, so its environmental storytelling is, like, bar none.
I still think and hope and pray that horror games to this day still try to borrow as much as they can from the narrative storytelling elements that they've introduced in that game and that franchise, because it is just perfect. It's so weird. It's classy, it's funny, it's strange, it's horrible. It's just, it touches upon all the right notes at the right times, all while just putting you directly in the center of all of it to just discover it all, and the audio logs are perfect. It's just,
well, it's the game that
it allows you to just go.
To record myself.
While these guys in these big mech suits with drills are just finding you to kill you with these little girls. And it's just so fucked. The whole thing is just so fucked. And also, you could shoot lightning from your hands. So it's like,
and there's just a bunch of, like, chemical drug addicted psychopaths in masks walking around everywhere.
Yeah, and I had my older brother's friend again. The reason why, too, he was talking about it, I think, like, even last week, 2 weeks ago, because he was talking about getting to the end, and I was like, I love Bioshock.
So good.
I was like, I want to play that again.
I'm disappointed that PS Vita game will never be a thing.
Yeah, and I know that they even said, I know Ken Levine said, Bioshock eventually will be continued on.
Well, they are working on it.
And I hope they are.
Right now.
I know in the future there's going to be a new one. I just don't think, I think purely for nostalgic purposes, it'll never hit me the same way
you can't catch
that the original hit me. You can't capture my magic twice. I really hope for new generations who have never played this yet, I hope they get a new game of Bioshock that will impact them, as I'm sure Infinite has for others.
Also,
but Infinite, when I played it, it just didn't hit me the same. I just wasn't.
It takes place in Rapture, Burial at Sea, is fantastic.
That was perfect. And it's because I wanted to go back to Rapture.
Yeah,
that was it.
Brings you back to that world in such a great way. And it gives you a part of the world we had not gotten yet, which was what was Rapture like before the fall. Much in the same way of, like, I really like a lot of the environments in Bioshock 2. I think the second area, the Rapture Museum, is one of my favorite sections in Bioshock 2, where you see, like, this weird fucking, like, monument to Ryan's deranged mind and what he thought of his own achievements and what he thought of the rest of the world.
And I remember getting to this discussion. Oh, welcome to the Bioshock cast. I remember getting to the discussion.
Fucking Cohen. Fort Frolic.
I don't give a shit. I would talk about this game forever. I was getting into the discussion too about, like, so is Andrew Ryan a good guy? Like, you know, was Andrew Ryan actually ended up being the good person because you bashed his fucking brains in spoiler? And I remember even just saying, like, no, the whole point is that nobody is good, like, at all in this entire game.
Yeah.
Like, everybody that you're dealing with, not even Tenenbaum, is a good part. Like, nobody's good. You just happen to go to the lighthouse, and even then you realize that you're not good either.
And
like, you were just told by some manipulation to go there.
And to begin with, I've also talked in the past about how I love Fort Frolic, because it feels like such a weird, like, you could take Fort Frolic, that entire section of Bioshock, and make it its own game.
Uh-huh.
Because it's such a cutout of it. I always compare it to the part of Resident Evil 4 where you enter Salazar's castle, because it feels like this cutaway section where, okay, some other psychopath is hijacking the lines, and you gotta deal with him and his bullshit for a little bit.
They did exactly what was, and I don't know if this was just a mechanic at the time. Yeah, oh, you can make your own game on him even. There was just this mechanic at the time, or this narrative element to stories with these horror games, where a lot of the people that you would meet, any NPC, any person, they were always unattainable face-to-face. They were always behind a door, contacted via a radio, behind some plexiglass. Dead Space was the exact same way. Almost everybody that you were encountering was behind a door of some kind, because then it influenced some event to happen, and that's why it was so easy to do that. Bioshock and Dead Space did
like
this so excellently. Exactly. And I think I want games to keep going back to that kind of element, because obviously with games like Resident Evil, it's not going to work because it's very in-your-face, has to be fast-paced and direct. But,
which is weird, it has worked that way in the past with Resident Evil. Like, 4 is a great
It did,
example.
But even say with 2, I mean, with 2, you pretty much just see everybody face-to-face. Don't get me wrong, that helps the game.
Yeah,
that helps the game of Resident Evil 2. It wouldn't be nearly as ass-clenching if you didn't see people face to face. Like, if I saw Mr. X behind a door, it wouldn't really hit me that well.
I think a lot of it has to do with how the setting works. Like, the reason that sort of isolationist stuff works in RE4 is because 4 is the same type of story as Bioshock. It's like the stranger in a strange land. Like, Leon Kennedy is in an unfamiliar setting to get Ashley and get out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He,
and then
he
you
is
actually
the foreign entity, whereas in, like, Resident Evil 2, the foreign entity is the zombies. In Resident Evil 4, Leon Kennedy is the foreign entity.
And I love the isolation element to those games, because when you finally do break that barrier down, it's supposed to be impactful. At which it happens. Like, in Bioshock, I think the first time you truly meet somebody face-to-face, not counting Tenenbaum, because Tenenbaum's always just shown by a silhouette, I believe.
Until you actually...
Until you actually do the reverse programming thing.
Yeah. When you're in Tenenbaum's orphanage.
Yeah, exactly. I think the first time you actually see somebody face-to-face, like, before they go insane or invite them, is Andrew Ryan's cutscene, when you actually go into his door.
You get a face-to-face with Cohen at the end of Fort Frolic.
You do, but you end up, you can kill him, though.
Yes, but here's the interesting part. A lot of people don't remember this. You can kill him, or you can walk away. If you walk away, you can get into his apartment later.
Which is so cool.
Olympus Heights, and you can kill him there, and you miss a weapon upgrade if you don't take that opportunity.
Yeah, which is, again, one of the reasons why it's so cool. But a lot of the times, when they break down the barriers, it's during moments of ass clenching and severity. You're thinking, oh shit, like in Dead Space, you don't see anybody until you finally see Nicole not behind the door, and then it turns out, oh shit, it's not, like, she's not real. So, there's a lot of elements to that that just make the game so good and memorable to me. So, this whole 20-minute segment on Bioshock is for me to tell you, the audience, once again, play the fucking game if you haven't already. I'm sorry for spoiling things, but you probably should have played it anyway. And it's still good, even if the game was spoiled for me in every bit, I would still play it and enjoy it just as much.
It speaks to it, like, I can tell you the name of every character of, like, slight importance, and there's so many fleeting, like Sandra Cohen, like Dr. Steinman.
I'm a guy who literally says that I hate horror movies, yet my favorite games of all time are horror games. And, Dead Space and Bioshock are the only two where I've actually read, like, separate lore on them in book form or novelized format. So, I don't know. Take that for what you will. I really don't like a lot of things, but that's what I like.
Quite good.
Anyways. Oh, yeah. What am I playing still? Monster Hunter. I almost beat Iceborne. That's it. I keep dying, but I'm almost there. I'm on the final dragon. Okay, let's start. Monster. Give me the drop, Rich.
Drop. Age of Empires 3 Definitive Edition comes to PC on October 15th. Airplane Mode comes to PC October 15th. There's a lot of October 15th, so I'm just going to start naming them as we go. Alpaca Ball All-Stars comes to PC and Switch. We're going to Google that. Cake Bash comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Stadia. Cloud Punk comes to PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Doodle God Evolution comes to PS4. Hunting Simulator 2 comes to Switch. Monster Truck Championship comes to PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Ring of Pain comes to PC. Roki comes to Switch. Space Crew comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Tennis World Tour 2 comes to Switch. Those are all fun October 15th drops. Now, what's going on the 16th, you ask? I'll tell you. Nine Monkeys of Shaolin comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Aquanox Deep Descent comes to PC. Crown Trek comes to PC and Switch. Fishing North Atlantic comes to PC. Ghost of Tsushima Legends Multiplayer Update is out on PS4 on October 16th. Mario Kart Live Home Circuit comes to Switch on October 16th. And then the big drops on October 20th. Amnesia Rebirth comes to PC and PS4. Doom Eternal The Ancient Gods Part 1 expansion comes to PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Drone Swarm comes to PC. The Guys comes to PC. And finally, Celasta Crown of the Magister comes to PC.
That's a lot of games. Games that I'm interested in. I want to see how Mario Kart does.
Yeah, I'm probably going to pick up Amnesia, speaking of horror.
Yeah. I remember when Amnesia first came out, it was touted as one of the scariest games.
It was a big deal.
It got a lot of hype at the time.
Amnesia Dark Descent.
Yeah, because they recommended you turn off all the lights, put your headphones on, and that was what the weird disfigured thing chasing you sometimes and get the candle. And they were like, yeah, you gotta play
they
that.
They said the same thing.
And I specifically remember saying, no.
They said the same thing when Blair Witch came out last year, but it turns out that was just a bad game.
Yeah, but Amnesia actually, I think, lived up to it.
Yeah, you're
Blair Witch, which shat the bed. I remember when you're like, I really like Blair Witch the movie, and this game's bad.
I remember we talked about it, and I was like, I really like the dog.
Yeah. I realize that I will not play a horror game where I am powerless. I need to have a gun and I'll feel better. Or like a weapon. Then I'll feel good. Like, I remember Outlast, where you just have the camera. Like, that's not good enough for me. I need a gun or a weapon so I can make the bad people go bye-bye.
What I really hated about the way Blair Witch was framed was you were like a soldier who had returned home, and you're on this search in the woods for the kid who's gone missing. But, like, sometimes your dog would just, like, run off, and then you'd, like, start having a panic attack. And I was like, if this is the experience I wanted, I would just go hang out in the woods and have my own panic attack.
I could do that right now on my own. I don't need this game and pay money. I'm pretty interested to see. I'm also interested to see how the Ghost of Tsushima multiplayer goes.
Yeah.
It's not something I'm interested in the slightest, but
kind of with the same thing I'm at. Like, when they said,
seems pretty cool.
It's cool that it's there, I guess. When they said what it was, I'm like, that's the exact thing I don't want out of that game.
Yeah, I'm like, fine.
When they were like, and we added loot, and I was like, ew.
Ew. Yeah, I didn't know about that either. That's gross. But that's fine. You don't need to play it if you don't want it. And Definitive Edition with H3.
That's cool.
Just play H2. Play H2. News. Yeah, Mortal Kombat's adding Rambo.
Yeah, as Ed Boon continues his quest to make games solely for Dan Reichert.
Did he freak out?
Oh, he absolutely fucking did. Okay, there's a fight. Mortal Kombat, something Dan Reichert, as a human being, never shuts up about, now has RoboCop and Rambo in it. Like, I really
probably ejaculated.
That Ed Boon just found a bunch of, like, fanfic Dan Reichert left in a Kansas gas station when he was a child.
I just think it's so funny how it's just, at this point, just Rambo. Rambo's not even, like...
Yeah, just John
just
Rambo.
With a gun. Like, it's just the dude with a gun
Rambo's
at that point.
John Rambo's not known for his kickins and his punchins.
Or his supernatural elements, but unless you want to consider surviving just a supernatural element all its own,
blood,
which you may.
Maybe.
I mean, that's true. And the last blood, according to the last movie, too, while also being slightly racist.
Quite a little bit.
Good job,
it's
Rambo.
Hard to say.
Good job, Rambo. We were talking about less than a month. Genshin Impact made $100 million in less than 2 weeks.
I really need to play a little bit more of that. I did lightly dip.
Did you not read what I just wrote here?
Yeah, I did.
Do not spend money on this game.
No, I'm not going to spend money on it. Like, good. I lightly dip my toes into it. I kind of want to see what it's about. Because even without the gacha part of it, people seem to kind of like it.
These guys are fucking going nuts. Listen, my brother plays it. My older brother plays it. My cousin plays it. Everybody is playing this game.
He's like, yo, Eric, check out these waifus.
I'm not doing it. Yeah, my cousin plays, he showed me this one witch character, and he just keeps calling her mommy. I'm not playing this game. And, it made me just want to play Breath of the Wild. Yeah. It didn't make me want to play, because there's a gacha element behind it. I don't care how good the story is or how good the game combat is. There's a gacha behind it. There's still a 0.6 chance of getting the best characters, and doing these wishes and doing that. I can't devote my life to that. Even fucking Jeff Gertzman posted about it. And I'm like, no, another one. It's just like, everybody's playing this game. I mean, I'm glad it's good. I will say this. I'm impressed that this game can play from the phone, the PlayStation or a console, and your computer all seamlessly together.
Yeah.
I'm fucking impressed.
Kind of wild.
And it does not eat your battery too crazily on the phone. And it looks good. It does. It's literally Breath of the Wild with anime. And I just can't... I just know it's a gacha on the surface. I am blown away that it even made 100 milli. But at the same time, I guess I'm not surprised because I can't stop seeing information about it all over the place.
You sure can't.
Fuck this game. I'm probably going to download it next week.
I'm probably going
to
play.
But I don't want to because... whatever, maybe not. Whenever I complain about games like this, it's more so a cry for help to myself. I'm just like, don't do it. Level 5 apparently also shut down their NA operations.
Yeah.
Which makes me kind of upset, because I like their Professor Layton games and their other games.
Yeah, it's a damn shame.
It doesn't mean that the studio's closed down in Japan, mind you. It's just probably localizations may be harder to come by in
the
future.
They're going to have to go to an outside company to do so.
Yeah, apparently they were running a skeleton crew because they started firing people back in August of 2019. So for the better part of a year, sources finally found out that they were practically running on nothing, and they finally like shut it down now.
Yeah.
And they said goodbye. Just let it die.
Let it die.
I love Level 5. They made so many good games.
Dev, I like Layton. I like Yokai Watch.
I get very concerned when these things happen because I need localized games. I need more studios to, like, Atlas
are important.
Atlas is fine. Vanillaware, fine.
Well, listen, man, they got,
they're always going to keep coming.
You can't just get rid of mechs.
I know they're going to keep the content coming, but when it comes to, say, Capcom or even just Level 5, yeah, I get a little concerned sometimes because sometimes they just don't localize the games that they should be because there's not a lot of popularity in North America. And when they start closing the doors like this, yeah, I get nervous that they're not going to start it back up again.
Yeah, I
and I want to play more Layton. I
understand that.
Can you?
I can.
Oh, okay. Because I just want to play more Layton. I'm very simple. Very simple man.
Simple man.
Very
I like
simple
my
taste.
Professor Layton.
I'm a very simple man with a very simple taste. But yeah, that's the Layton life. You know,
life gonna get you. You know.
Everything else, though, it's pretty much business as usual. There's really nothing. I can't comment on anything else. I don't think there's any. I don't think there's any truly other spooky games that are coming out other than Amnesia.
No, I have one on my Steam library I'd like to maybe stream at some point this month, which is Daymare 1984 that I've been wanting to play for quite a while. That is a, if it can give you any perspective of what type of game it is, it started as a remake, fan remake of Resident Evil 2, and then the Resident Evil 2 remake got announced. And they pivoted into an original IP.
Interesting. What was I going to say?
I'm sorry, it's Daymare 1998 is the name of the game.
I forgot what I was going to say. It was on just spooky games in general. You want to know a game I don't get continues to be made, but with the expanded lore, and I was surprised to see it on the console reveals, or just the console showcase? Five Nights at Freddy.
People who are mostly children really like that.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying, that's what their fan base is, for the most part. It's a younger than us crowd.
I thought it was a pretty good game in the beginning.
I didn't play much of it.
So, my kid?
No, Eric, I'm just saying.
You think I'm a child now?
For the most part.
No, on a serious note, I remember when it first came out, talking about popular scary games at the time, had a cult following.
Yeah.
It was a $5 game, it was cheap as fuck. So, of course, I bought it. Everybody bought it because it was $5. Yeah. Who cares? Then the guy came out the second and the third one. And then I remember he even came out and was like, listen, it really isn't that hard to make. Like,
no, it's just...
These games are pretty fucking simple.
Camera monitoring. It's,
and they sold millions.
You could run enough flash players.
And... Yeah. Unless I'm absolutely incorrect, if, in fact, that's true, I apologize. But I distinctly could swear I remember that this guy was like, listen, the meat and potatoes of this game is not that hard to replicate. It was just made with Flash. And I made it in a relatively short amount of time. Guy makes millions. Cult following. Lore comes out dripping about this fucking animatronic Chuck E. Cheese thing. I do not play any game beyond the first one because I didn't give a shit. I also got freaked out and I was just like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to play Pop-Up Simulator. I have not heard anything about this game from that time the 3 came out. It completely fell off my radar. I didn't even look up the lore of it. The very first time I was re-exposed to it was during the Xbox Game Showcase when they showed the new Five Nights at Freddy's. Except this time, I was dumbfounded. I had no idea. I still don't. I have no fucking clue as to where we are now in this lore. Everything's futuristic.
3 days.
Do you wonder? Are you familiar
not
with
even
it?
A little bit.
I don't know where we are. If anybody understands what the lore is, please message us.
Write
tell us about it, because
explain Five Nights.
It's beyond
why
me.
Are you on the show to explain Five Nights at Freddy's to us?
It's beyond me. It really is. Because I know they came out with AR games, they came out with fucking spin-off games, and just a bunch of stuff. And now they're coming out the newest one. Let me just write in 2021. I forgot the name already.
It's 5 days.
Oh, I'm sorry. I typed in Five Nights at Freddy's 2021. First of all, I think the game is called, I don't even know what it is, but now I just found that in 2021 there is a planned Five Nights at Freddy's movie.
Of course there is.
So, Rich, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what the point of this is. I'm just trying to say to the world
We see you.
What the fuck? I see you. I wish I didn't. I would like you to go away.
Please leave forever.
That's really what. Oh, and I just realized that there was a fourth Five Nights at Freddy's, and Freddy looks horrific. He has teeth. I don't like this game anymore, Rich. I this is the kind of horror I don't like, because I don't have a gun or a weapon that I can kill Freddy with, I believe.
I don't think you do either.
I think you just stop him from coming in. And I don't like that. That scares me.
That's understandable.
Do not bill me for this session, Rich. Do not bill me for this therapy time. Session. Well, Eric, we're at time. I don't know. What did you think of Five Nights at Freddy's? I can't be alone in this. Is it me?
I know it was like this phenomenon. I didn't really play it much, to tell you the truth.
I just knew that there was this phenomenon behind it. And they kept... this dude just kept making it.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you? It's if it's as simple to make as he suggests, and it was basically like printing money.
Oh, here it is. It's called Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach. I
worked a little harder on that title.
Yeah, you go into this game, and it looks like... it looks futuristic? I'm done. I have nothing to say about this. I don't even know why I brought it up. I was thinking of spooky shit.
I downloaded the Solitaire experience.
Oh.
Solitaire Conspiracy.
Heard about it. Is that actually Solitaire?
Yeah, it's like $9 on Epic right now. And my understanding is like a weirdly framed version of Solitaire, like where you're kind of working against a timer. It's from Mike Biffle. It seems neat. I'm gonna give it a shot.
Okay. It looked pretty fun. I like Solitaire games.
It's Solitaire with a lot of Greg Miller.
I saw that there's this new spooky game too that's not Solitaire called Phasmophobia.
I've heard about that. I thought people
that's been getting a lot of buzz
about the Laserdisc game Phasmagoria, and I got very excited. And then I realized that I was the only one who knows what Phasmagoria is.
I don't know what that is.
I'm going to come up with a way for us to play Phasmagoria, and that's what we're going to do for Extra Life.
Should I want to play Phasmagoria?
Look up some... when we're done here, I'm going to explain to you what Phasmagoria is.
All right. I'm down with that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. Until then, do we have anything else, or should I roll us into housekeeping?
Yeah, let's just go to housekeeping.
All right. This has been real. Big thanks to Heather Ramos for our artwork and Ed Biquette for our wonderful intro music. You can find us on the Twitters. I am at TheRidgeMeister0. You are, of course, at Beautiful_Eric. If you have questions for us, send them to GeckoGamesPodcast@gmail.com, and maybe we'll read them on the air. Until then, I'm listening, Seattle.
Thanks for stopping by, San Diego.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Oh.